Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Abby Quinn, actress.
Gillian Robespierre, co-writer, director.
Elizabeth Holm, co-writer, producer.
And we are here, of course, talking Landline, which is not only funny, but heartfelt. A little movie here. It played at Sundance, and it's going to arrive nationwide, I think, July 21st. Ladies, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Landline is a story about a family on the brink of change, and it follows two sisters, played by Jenny Slate and Abby Quinn, as they discover a secret that has been... held in by their father, played by John Turturro, and their wonderful mother, Edie Falco, may or may not know what is going on. That's my weird radio pitch, elevator pitch. Yeah, it's a sort of comedy set in New York City in the 90s about family secrets and lies and communication and love. And you tell us, you just watched it. Yeah. What is our movie about?
It's more of a drama that you'll laugh a lot during.
Yeah,
that's watching.
That's a great way to put it. So are we not allowed to say what the secret is? Come on, I want to tell our listeners. We have to almost to explain the movie. But
we definitely tell it. I don't think it's a spoiler.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's kind of in the log line. Anyway, so John Turturro, he's having an affair. Why set out and tell this story? I mean, obviously, is it just because the juicy conflicts of, you know, knowing a secret and the audience knowing what certain characters on screen don't know?
Gillian and I are born and raised New Yorkers. We grew up in the 90s. Both our parents divorced when we were teenagers and kind of grew up on infidelity and divorce. And then, you know, grew up to find ourselves in a situation of being in long-term monogamous relationships and ultimately getting married ourselves, even though maybe there was a point where we thought that wasn't something we'd do. And we... you know, in our relationships with our families, had this interesting experience happen to both of us, which was divorce wound up being this thing that in many ways brought our families closer. We got to know our parents as humans and our siblings as friends. And we wanted to kind of turn the divorce story on its ass a little bit and see what happens when this kind of coming of age moment for a family can actually, you know, make people connect and for the first time actually get to know each other a little bit. So Landline is, you know, a movie about this human family kind of connecting with each other for the first time.
Absolutely. You can kind of see that there in the final shot at the restaurant. But I wanted to compliment you, Gillian, on the directing. So, like, right after, I guess the scene right after the daughter, Abby, you discover the affair on the computer. The scene right after that, you have John Turturro sort of block Edie Falco from leaving the room, but you have a nice little detail shot over his shoulder where he raises his hands to block her, and you can see his wedding band. I just wanted to say, from a directing standpoint, how do you find those little moments to kind of bring into life there? I was impressed with that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was a fun scene to direct. Any director gets a chance to work with Edie Falco and John Turturro, it's a real dream and an honor. And I'm so glad that they finally did a movie together. Everyone assumes that John and Edie have been in many movies together, but this is the first time they've been in a movie on screen. They came up in New York in the same, you know, time frame, and they're longtime family friends. Edie's very close friends with John's cousin, who was on The Sopranos, but they've never worked together. And it was so wonderful to cast these amazing actors who had a familiarity with each other. But we had to depict a relationship that was on the verge of collapse, but had 20 years of potentially great moments and moments that could show, a couple that did connect at one point. So working with them was a dream. And I'm so glad that you picked out that little detail. He was married, so he would have a wedding ring on. But, you know, he's a crossing guard and he was mimicking a crossing guard. It was never the intention to have his hand with the ring be like the symbolic moment. But I love that you picked up on that. That's so thoughtful and cool to hear that that moment resonated with you, and then you got deeper into it. It's really exciting. Thank you for seeing that.
Yeah, let's give credit, even if you didn't mean it. All right. One of the fun things about the movie must have been you guys trying to find ways to sort of bring out that setting of the mid 90s there. I mean, the affair's discovered on a floppy disk. It's printed out on that awesome old school perforated paper. The CD player skips during sex, which wouldn't happen now with an iPod. You see Hillary Clinton on TV in the pantsuit she emulates. All these great 90s stuff. How fun was it to populate that period piece sort of stuff?
It was definitely fun. It was definitely, not that long ago. So our memories of the 90s are pretty visceral and alive. But we also wanted to make sure that if you took that element out, that the story would still be strong, and the relationships that we were creating and the bonds and the breaking up would still work, whether or not we set the movie in 1995 or 2017. But it was definitely, I think the most fun was in the edit and picking music. It was really we wrote a script that had a lot of 90s music built in. Obviously some songs we couldn't get, but trying to just go back through the catalog of all the wonderful B-side songs. We did a B-side Breeder song, we did a Sevado song, but also, this is a movie about three generations within one family, so we got to explore dad rock and disco and, grunge, but also like dance music that like Crystal Waters song is one of my favorites from the 90s. So it was fun to sort of use music as a device to tell the story through, each character's POV, but also to set the 90s tone.
Absolutely.
Without having to shoot expansive, big shots of New York City that, just doesn't look like 1995 anymore.
Right. But in terms of the script, since I guess it's for Gillian and Elizabeth again, since you co-wrote it, in terms of how funny and your sort of the humorous moments, I like how you sort of set us up where like, almost as if like there's so many moments where it like reverse your expectations, where you think that the parents are gonna chastise the younger ones for saying something crude, and then it kind of they almost admonish them for a different reason. Like I'm trying to think of an example in the car scene when she says like I can see your boyfriend's stain on your jacket, and she says how dare you say that it's her fiance. It's not later I think someone says to Turo, I think you call the guy a douchebag, and he says, hey, it's not that. That's too German. You know what I mean? So it's like you set them up like you're gonna punish them for maybe having a potty mouth, but instead they dive in on the other detail of the sentence. I love that. Is that something you guys consciously do, or are you just that funny as you sit down and write it?
We're that funny. The interview over.
No, boom.
Yeah, there's a line in the movie where John Turturro says he fell in love with Edie Falco's character because she had great legs and the mouth of a truck driver, and that's definitely how my father would describe my mother. We grew up, our parents taught us how to curse, and among many other beautiful skills. It's definitely. We both came from households where parents were constantly surprising us with what the admonishing was for.
And we hate movies where everyone's, restricted in their roles. Like the mother, the matriarch must be, the curse patrol and not, put a nickel in the swear jar or whatever.
Right.
Like I feel like that so many women in movies are relegated to these very strict roles, and it would be nice to have a mother who is just as filthy and funny and vulnerable and gets all the juicy moments just as all the other male characters in movies. So, we just wanted to sort of every time you think a genre is supposed to be one way or a character is supposed to be one way, just sort of surprise the audience and let them be free, open humans.
No, I love it. There's so many moments I actually laughed out loud. So props on that. I know, so Gillian, I know you'd worked with Jenny Slate before in Obvious Child, but I want to hear from Abby. Working out that sister relationship there. How awesome was Jenny to work with, and what do you think you guys? Why do you think that chemistry works so well between you two?
Jenny was really great to work with. She's like one of my favorite actresses and comedians. One of my favorite TV shows is Parks and Rec, so I think I was first introduced to her. Why am I forgetting the twins?
Mona Lisa.
I've been a big fan of hers for a while. And we didn't really get a lot of rehearsal time. I think we had met like twice before starting to film. But Jenny is a very open person, and she doesn't really have any guards up, which is really refreshing and nice. And I don't know a lot of people like that, or I definitely don't meet a lot of people who are like that right off the bat. So I think from the get-go, it was kind of set up for us, or she made it really easy to communicate with her and connect with her in real life. And then that definitely translated, I think, when we were in our scenes together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's a touching, heartfelt little movie, but also very funny. So congrats to all you guys. Before you guys go, tell me about, how exciting it must have been up at Sundance. I know it's made the rounds, and we have until July 21st when it actually comes out. But tell me a little bit about, when it was up for a grand jury prize there and played there. What was that whole whirlwind experience like?
Well, always getting the call from Sundance that you got in is one of the best calls to ever receive. I remember I started crying a little bit, tears of joy, and it's a wonderful feeling to an amazing festival to get into, and we're so lucky to have done it twice. This time around was a little bit different. We screened on inauguration day, and there was a blizzard, and we felt very far away from wanting to. March in Washington, and I think the tone and temperature of Sundance was changed because of the election, and we did march in Park City, and that was amazing to step away from the movie industry for a second and come together and walk side by side with fellow filmmakers and unite. But in general, we were all a little bit scared and numb. But it's also the best, we had a great audience, and we were able to sell it to Amazon, which is a dream come true to work so long and hard on something and have people like it enough that they want to buy it.
Awesome. Well, hopefully people will want to go see it in the theaters as well and buy it there as well. It comes out on July 21st. Everybody, thanks so much for joining me. I really enjoyed the movie, so congrats.
Thank you.